أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We're looking at Surah Al-Imran, and we're going to start now with section 1. This is from Ayah 1 to 17. And within this section, we will look at five different parts. The first part we will look at is the author of divine guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will look at seven attributes mentioned in these ayat. Then we will look at his message, the guidance itself, which in essence is the Qur'an al-Kitab, which verifies the Torah and the Injil, mentioned first time by name here. Remember in Surah Al-Baqarah we read, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. When describing the muttaqeen, it says, and those who believe in that which has been revealed to you, and that was revealed before you. It wasn't named. Here it is named. The third part we will look at is the two types of verses, the two types of ayat in the Qur'an, the muhkamat and the mutashabihat. Muhkamat are clear, obvious, explicit, and then the mutashabihat are ambiguous or similar, need to be looked at as part of the whole Qur'an to avoid obscurity. The fourth part of this section, we will look at the three categories of people. When humankind is exposed to divine guidance, they fall into three categories, just as we saw in Surah Al-Baqarah. But here Allah now elaborates further. He calls the muttaqeen ulul albab, those who are deep in understanding, and there's 12 different qualities that are listed for them. We then find those who defiantly reject the message immediately. And Allah describes them as Alladina kafaru, those who cover up the truth. Here we have five consequences of their actions. And then the third one is what we called hypocrites in Surah Al-Baqarah. Here Allah says, fi kulubihim zayghun, in their hearts is a distortion, is a perversion, is a disease. Because they will only dwell on the ambiguous verses and distract themselves into vague concepts. They dispute the guidance. And the last part of this section, we will look at the inherent nature of the human being, the hubbu shahawat, the love of desires. And there's five desires that are listed, which are very, very temporal, which very often the human being focuses on. And then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving his alternative as the permanent focus that we should have. So let's first begin with the first part, and that's the author. The author of divine guidance, Allah. So the surah starts with Alif Lam Mim. Same thing as Surah Al-Baqarah. There are numerous interpretations, but in essence, one of them says that they symbolize the fundamental modules which are basic to understanding and communicating the meaning of creation. Letters are the building blocks of language, which when strung together are the means of communicating information to humankind. The surah then starts with the beginning of the most important ayah of the Qur'an, Ayatul Kursi. So the second ayah of Surah Al-Imran is Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no God but He, al-hay al-qayyum, the living, the all-sustaining. It is He from whom we derive life, and it is He who sustains us. The third attribute we find in ayah 4, Wallahu azizun dhuntiqam. Allah is mighty, the Rabb of retribution. When one refuses to accept and understand right and wrong, then there is, like in everything, a cause and an effect. And the retribution is continual suffering, difficulty and affliction. And this attribute is in relation to those who cover up the truth, because he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Indeed, those who cover up the truth about the signs of Allah will have a severe punishment. And Allah is mighty, the Rabb of retribution. The fourth attribute we find is لا يخفى عليه شيء. Nothing is hidden from him. This is in Ayah 5. Where can one turn to where Allah and His manifestations do not exist? Where can one hide from that which gives one life? Wherever one goes, one's life support system is already there. The hypocrisy, the nifaq of one who knows that nothing is hidden from Allah will disappear. Because once you realize that one's inner thoughts, motivations are all exposed, there is no other way out. which is what nifaq is about. Remember the tunnel, the rabbit's tunnel, which has two exits or two entrances. A hypocrite is always looking for an alternate. There is no plan B. There is only plan A, and that's Allah. The fifth attribute is هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام. It is He who fashions you, who shapes you in the womb. كيف يشاء, as He pleases. So he effectively says, I molded you. It answers the complaint of one who says, why am I like this? And the final two are لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. العزيز and الحكيم. The mighty and the wise. So he who sent the message is Al-Hayy, the living, Al-Qayyum, the all-sustaining, Azizun Zuntiqam, mighty in retribution, لا يخفى عليه شيء, nothing is hidden from him, يصوركم في الأرحام, he shapes you in the womb, he molds you, and the mighty and the wise, Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. Now let's look at his message. Ayah 3, نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق. He has sent down the book with truth. Nazzala means over time. If it's without the tashdeed, then it's inzal. It's over one period of time. This is over time. So he says, over time, he sent down the book with the truth. Now let's look at the qualities of this book. Three qualities. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. It verifies that which came before. So it verifies the Torah and the Injil. The message of these divinely inspired books is from the same one source, but revealed at different times for different civilizations and cultures. The Quran supersedes all previous revealed teachings. It's the final message. Second attribute of divine guidance, Hudal linnas, a guidance for humankind. And then the third attribute of this guidance, وأنزل الفرقان. It is the Furqan, that which distinguishes between right and wrong. By reading this book, we learn to differentiate between truth and falsehood, the transient and the permanent. Now let's look at the third part, a little bit about the book in Ayah 7. He says, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات. It is he who has revealed this book. Then he says, in it are verses which are muhkamat. This comes from hukm. They're clear, they're obvious, they're explicit. And they form, hunna umul kitab, they form the source of the book, the foundation of the book. In these verses, there is no doubt, there is no room for difference in opinion. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, we read, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا قُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may be God-conscious. There is no ambiguity about it. Now the other verses, he says, are وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتِ. Mutashabihat are ambiguous or similar. Let me give you an example. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we read in Ayah 70, when the Bani Israel were asked to sacrifice a cow, they said to Prophet Musa, إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَحَ عَلَيْنَا. All cows are alike to us. So these verses need clarification. For example, we find in Surah Al-Qiyamah, that Surah number 75, Ayah 23, let's start with 22, where Allah says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَعِذٍ نَاظِرًا. Some faces on that day shall be bright. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. So they will be looking at their Rabb. But when we look at Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 143, that's 7143, we have Prophet Musa saying, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أُنْذُرْ إِلَيْكَ. My Rabb, show me yourself so that I may look upon you. And immediately Allah says, قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي. You will never be able to see me. The intellect allows one to understand that seeing Allah refers to the knowledge of Allah. And it forces one to look deeply into the meaning of what looking towards is actually talking about. It's talking about directing one's attention towards. So that's what is meant by mutashabihat. So now in the next part, we will look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the categories of people who come about when exposed to these verses. I will introduce a little bit of this category in this talk by finishing ayah 7. Now here Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. In those in whose hearts there is a perversion, there is a distortion, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَحَ مِنْهُ. They will only follow that which is ambiguous. And you know what they do? Ibtigha al-fitna. They will do that because they are looking for dissension. They're looking for problems. Wabtigha ta'wilihi. And they are looking to put their own interpretation into it. And then he says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And nobody knows its interpretation except for Allah. Then he says, وَرَاسِقُونَ فِي الْإِلْمِ. Those who are entrenched in knowledge. Rusukh is absorbed. Internalized it. Those who have internalized knowledge, يَقُولُونَ, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in it. كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, all of it is from our Rabb. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُوا إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And only those who are deep in understanding, who have an inner understanding, will remind. Now here we come to the crux of everything as far as divine guidance is concerned. That one sentence, قُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. It is all from our Rabb. That is the basis of belief. If we believe that all of guidance is from Allah, then there is no distortion in the head or the heart. Once that is understood, then the Quran will not confuse us. It was never meant to confuse us. Anything that is unclear is only unclear because it requires more reflection, more interconnection. Clear understanding of certain parts is the foundation for wider understanding. The way to approach the Quran is to take from it what is understandable and put it to use. If this is not done, then there is no progress. If we seek dissension, then rather than transformation in practical life, we will distract ourselves into vague concepts. Inshallah, in the next talk, we will look further into the three categories of people who come about when exposed to divine guidance.